Praise you, Lord. Would you turn to the book of Joel? Joel. Let's go to Joel's place for a second. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's Joel chapter 2. Praise be to God. It's a good night to die. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Everybody should be familiar with this scripture. Everybody there? Let's read it together. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Are we in those days? You betcha. You bet ya. I'm telling you, we are in those days. We are in the beginning of sorrows. The next event that will happen is tribulation, and then great tribulation. We are in the beginning of sorrows. Does everybody understand that? It is happening. God has brought. I mean, it's an honor to be alive to see what God is doing right now. We are seeing all kinds of devastation and famine. We are seeing tremendous earthquakes, flooding. I'd say the earth is shaking. God is purifying. He is waking up His people. He's causing them to realize that man cannot rescue them, but only He can. Amen? Is everybody with me? And Joel said, listen, he prophesied that God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Is it happening? Amen, it's happening. That's how you and I are here. He says, I draw all men unto me. By who? His Spirit. His Spirit, it is happening. There are powerful miracle signs and wonders happening all over the world. Salvation is the greatest miracle. Amen? No sense in getting healed and going to hell. Hallelujah. And He is pouring out His Spirit everywhere. Now, He talks in the Scripture, He talks about prophesying, dreams, and visions. Prophesying, dreams, and visions. God communicates with His people through these three areas. Not that He doesn't communicate with His Word and so forth and circumstances, but these are some of the three areas that God communicates with His people. Through prophecy, through dreams, and through visions. Amen? And if you're not getting dreams and visions, you better start asking. Because it's time. God is speaking to His people through prophecy, dreams, and in visions. Amen? Three reasons why He's speaking through the Spirit to us in these areas. The first one is to expose the enemy's plan. In other words, He gives us warning. He also begins to expose the enemy plan in your life as for what you may be bound to, or there's bondage in your life. He'll show you through prophecy, dreams, and visions. Is everybody with me? Why? Because light what? Exposes darkness, doesn't it? The other reason is to bring direction to fulfill God's will. To bring direction. Through what? Prophecy, dreams, and visions. And the third one is to bring confirmation of God's will. So what He's going to do is confirm things. In other words, you might have been told certain things, there might have been something impressed in your spirit, and then you get a dream, a vision of a confirmation. Does everybody understand that? So the three things is to expose the enemy's plan, to bring direction, and to bring confirmation. Is everybody with me? Now remember, he's exposing the enemy's plan for your life or an area in your life where you are bound. Because light, what? Exposes darkness. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9, would you read it with me? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to expose some of his plan. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to lay the whole thing out, does it? Now, can the devil expose another plan? Amen. That's where we need to have discernment, isn't it? That's why it's important that we have fellowship, isn't it? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. Through his Spirit. Prophecy, dreams, visions. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. You know what he does? He grabs hold of you and says, come on, we're going to go search the deep things of God. The whole thing is if you're in the natural, if you're not in tune with the Spirit, you'll miss the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Would everybody say that with me? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No, not even your spirit knows the things of God. The Holy Spirit is the only one that knows the things of God. And what he chooses to reveal to you is how you know. The Holy Spirit is the only one that knows the things of God. Amen? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So that means you've got to be in tune with the Spirit of God, don't you? These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Not natural, not carnal, not natural understanding, not natural senses, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. In other words, he is blinded to them. How many times has the devil blinded you carnally and you missed the thing of God? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually what? Discerned. And I'm telling you what, if you're not in tune, you are not spiritually discerned. You must be spiritually discerned, especially now. More than ever. More than ever. You and I must be in tune. In tune allows you to have discernment. Discernment that's what of God and what's not of God. A discernment which will bring you understanding of what your enemy, what he's doing. The discernment of what's motivating a human spirit. The discernment we've got to have. The discernment that's motivating that dream or vision or prophecy. You've got to know, you've got to discern what's behind it. Who is behind it? It may feel good. It may bring goosebumps and ticklies. But is it really God? Is everybody with me? Man's intellect or wisdom cannot understand the specific things of God. You've got to understand something. This letter is written to believers, not unbelievers. It's written to believers, not unbelievers. You know, we lose sight of that sometimes. We've got to be able to understand what God is expressing through us. Some things are expressed solely by revelation of His Spirit, isn't it? Only by His Spirit. Many things are missed because of trying to understand it with the natural mind, senses, or emotions. Many times we miss the things of God because of senses, amen, emotions or thoughts or images or vision or imagination. We begin to miss it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The name of the teaching is false images. False images. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We are in a critical, critical time. And there is a shift again. There's another shift happening. Oh, hallelujah. You know what God's doing? He's bringing His body up another level. He's beginning to bring it up another level. He's got to. He's bringing the body up another level. It's not about the intellect. It's to be so in tune with the Spirit that you won't be deceived. There's another level. There's another shift. Let me share something with you. What you're seeing in the natural realm manifest is already manifested in the spirit realm. So what you're seeing going on is there is a war, big war going on in the heavenlies over souls. What you're seeing, the devastations and all the stuff that's going on earthly realm and in the natural realm is already happening in the spirit realm. That's all you're seeing is the manifestation of it. Because there is war, big time war. And God is beginning and restoring and strategically repositioning His body. You know, when there's a war going on, you know, what happens is they send the jets and the bombers to clear away, don't they? Amen. That's why spiritual warfare has been going on and increasing and increasing and increasing. And now look at what's happening. Outreach is beginning to manifest big time. Why? Because now God's military is going into these other nations and so forth. Eventually, the economic arena is going to eventually collapse because we no longer can support all the rest of the nations. And that's when the one world government is going to try to step in. See, so we've got to be in tune because the Bible tells us that the Spirit tells us things to come. You know, all of this stuff right now of an economic rise and prosperity and so forth, it's false. It's temporary. But if you're in tune, you can take advantage of it and prepare to expand the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, if you get caught up in it, you'll find the rug will come right out from underneath your feet. It's all temporary. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? But even if our gospel is veiled, if it is veiled, if the message of truth is blinded, if it's not discerned, if it's not understood, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing, walking in deception, walking according to their own intellect, walking according to their own talents, walking according to what they feel, walking according to the natural arena. Does everybody understand? There's another place right now that God is opening up for us to walk up in. And we've got, listen, if you're not paying attention to the stairs, you end up slipping through and falling down, don't you? Sometimes there isn't a stair there. One could be missing. If you're not in tune, you'll go through it. It's a critical, critical time right now. But it's veiled to those who are perishing, being deceived, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe or follow, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now listen, this letter is not written to unbelievers. We think in that carnal arena, let me tell you something, the devil places a picture or an image in you, thinking that sometimes when you read the word, it's not for you. That's called false image. Well, you can't be talking to me about that. That's for unbelievers. No, that's for believers. Everybody got it? The Bible's not for unbelievers. It's for believers. Oh, hallelujah. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of what? Us. Do you understand that separation? You know, God has put up with many of his people working and laboring in the flesh. These things are about to cease. These things are about to cease. Because the reason of working in the flesh is a representation of relying on your own strength. He's bringing his people to an arena where they no longer are relying on their own strength. They are totally relying on him to bring them where they're supposed to be. To be able to listen and be in tune when to move, where to walk, and how to operate. There's another whole, it's like a hole that's opened up between heaven and earth where he's bringing his people up another place. And we've got to discern. You've got to discern where that hole is. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Does everybody understand what the Spirit is saying? Because I don't know nothing. I'm just a donkey for Jesus. But there's a place. In other words, there's a port. There's a place where you and I can climb up in and get through. And get through. And you've got to have discernment. You've got to be sensitive to the Spirit. You've got to wait. You know, you can't accept the good. You've got to wait for the best. Good is a stumbling block to best. Is everybody with me? Oh, the devil's going to try and put good. I share all the time. There's good deals out there, but they're not God deals. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Remember, what's he, you know, it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Now, let me tell you what it means. He not only blinds the minds, he blinds sight, doesn't he? He blinds vision. He blinds imaginations. How does he blind them? By polluting them. He pollutes them. We'll talk a little bit more about this. He pollutes the imagination. He pollutes the image. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. What's his power? Fear. Wow. So if he can deceive you, he can manipulate you into fear. Fear is nothing but a protector of self. That's associated with pride. See, what you need to do is give away all the things that you fear of losing. You got possessions? You're afraid of losing them? Then give them away, because they're nothing but a stumbling block to you. And that's carnal, and that's a spirit that manipulates you. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Can everybody hear me back there? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. It is Tuesday, right? Oh, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Is everybody there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, is restraining the powers of darkness. Once we're taken out of the way, all hell is going to break out. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we know that the Lord's going to destroy him. But in the meantime, he's still hanging around. His kingdom is still operating, kingdom of darkness. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all what? Power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what?
Unrighteousness.
Wow. So God's going to allow that delusion to come. But it talks about Satan's deception, doesn't it? He is the lawless one. He's the one that deceives. One of the areas that Satan's power of fear plays tricks on the deceptions in our images or our imagination. He causes us to entertain evil imagery. Did you ever notice that there's just certain things you can't get out? There's just certain things you can't get rid of because it was imparted? Could be imparted in a certain way. Some people are still having a hard time with unforgiveness because they keep seeing what that person has done to them. That's nothing but Satan, isn't it? Does everybody understand that? That image has been polluted now. There's an imagery that an individual sees. That's bondage, isn't it? Do you see how he operates? It talks about there's going to be much delusion. The Bible says that many will fall from the faith, taking heed of what? Deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. Whoa. There is much deception that's going to happen. And it's your responsibility and mine to stay in tune with the Spirit so that we can have discernment. Causes us to entertain evil imagery. Satan paints images on the canvas of our mind that can become a reality in bondage. Does everybody understand that? He paints an image on our mind that can become a reality to bring us into bondage. One of the areas could be relationships from the past, or possible relationships of the future. Things where we've been rejected or bound to, or, you know, even for a period of time when somebody's coming out of drugs and alcohol, the devil still hits them with dreams and everything, trying to keep that image alive. Does everybody understand? He's doing whatever. Fear. I mean, how does Satan's power is fear? What's he trying to do? Cause fear. So he paints an image. Well, if I don't do this, I'll never be successful. Fear of being successful. Amen? There's so much fear that brings bondage into individuals' lives. It can become a reality and bring bondage. Some of us are so hard to get reconciled with our families and get our families saved that it becomes a bondage to us. You know why? Because it comes of fear that it's not going to get done. That's bondage. Fear is always associated with bondage. That's Satan's power. And his greatest weapon is deception. Amen? Is everybody all right? Go to Jeremiah 29. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 29, and I think it's verse 11. And starting in verse 11, would you read it with me? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. How many times does a devil come in an area where, you know, there's no future? That's it, I'm done. You know, we start crying out, oh, how many times does the devil bring fear to you, brings that image of you dying of sickness? How about when you get on a plane? I mean, look at the image he gives you, man. You're going to crash. I mean, think about it. I mean, these are just, you know, these are things that that attack us. He's always trying to place that image. Now, you have the choice of getting rid of it, casting it down or whatever, but there are some times when people grab that as a total reality and it brings them in bondage. How about when you went to the doctor and he told you, listen, you can't run anymore because you might have neck problems. Or you can't do this or you can't do that. Or, you know, you've been diagnosed with something and there's a label on it. And then you hear all these radical stories about all these people that have this stuff and whatever. What does it do? It brings fear, doesn't it? Well, fear is not God. Daddy didn't bring me and you into bondage. He rescued us from bondage, didn't he? He says, for I know the thoughts, the things that I thought towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will what? I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? All of your heart. What prevents you from searching with all of your heart? Those goofy images. Hello? He puts them in it. He hits you. Did you ever notice you get all kinds of stuff when you're being a praying the Holy Ghost? Hoo-wee. I mean, some of it's even perverse. Thank God we have the anointing and the blood. Man, you start praying in the Spirit. You know, your mind starts drifting and whatever. Man, all kinds of stuff. The next thing, but I'm telling you, once you break through and you clear through, then it's like a river that's just flowing and you're just swimming. And you're just praying. Now the Lord's able to get something to you. And then He'll show you something. I mean, I can't tell you how much this happens to me. All of a sudden, then He'll bring a person, or He'll bring an event, or He'll bring something to me. And I'll say, okay, Dad, what's up? And He'll tell me this, this, and that. I'll say, okay. Then I give it back to Him, because I'm not going to run with that. Amen? Because I'm going to check and make sure it's Dad. Even though I may have peace and whatever thing else. But then as I see it manifest. Oh, hallelujah. God tells us He has a plan for us, but the devil tells you He's got a plan for you. You know how He tells you He's got a plan for you? Don't you remember? Don't you remember when you did this, 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 and this? Don't you remember such and such, who and who, and how you were rejected and hurt? Don't you remember? Come on, let me give you this image here. Oh, here's the paintbrush, too. Let's make this one full color. Let's get a little action on here, too. Next thing you know, oh, God! And you're crying to God, and it's the devil that's showing the whole thing, not God. Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our what? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know what He wanted you to do? See differently. He wants you to see the way He sees. Let us make man in our image. Of course, we know it represents His character and likeness. According to our what? Likeness. Let them have dominion. Oh. So what He's saying is, listen, okay, here's our image now. This is what I want you to look at. You have dominion. You have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every creep. You have dominion over. But I'm telling you, that image that the devil plays and paints on that canvas of your mind tells you you can't cast out a devil. Tells you you don't have the power to raise the dead. Tells you don't lay hands on the sick, nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you something, when you touch and agree with it, nothing happens. Because now you're not operating in faith, you're operating by sight. That's the delusion. That is the deception. He says, but listen, now we know Adam and Eve were created in God's image and likeness. We know their children weren't. Amen? Because they got a whole nother image. And we were born in that image. But that's why we're born again. So we have a new image. He's our image now. We are now walking in the image and likeness of Christ. The whole thing is that the powers of darkness want to constantly paint the old child image in the canvas of our mind. Is everybody with me? Go to Ezekiel 20. Oh, hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 20. I want to share something very profound. We all know that there's ancestral curses, don't we? Amen? So these curses come down the line. We know that we break them and so forth and go forward. What you can do is actually feed that curse to where it comes back. Let me give you an example. You've got a history of family with diabetes coming down the line. Right? Okay. That curse has been broke. Well, if you eat according to the way the diabetic, hello? If you eat all the stuff that's going to feed that, then you're feeding that curse. You've been taken out of lust and pornography and so forth. If you begin to touch it or go back to it, what do? You begin to feed that, and that curse comes back. So you can actually... Now, how does the devil want to feed that curse? By giving you what? That image on that canvas of your mind. That's how many people go back, don't they? That's why the Bible says it's an abomination to go back to the things that God set you free from. Why? Because you've taken the image of darkness now. You've believed that. You've believed that image that was painted there. Amen? So then what you've done is you've just fed that curse and you've come right back to it. See, the Bible says a curse without a cause is no effect. Well, you can give it a cause by feeding it. Does everybody understand that? Everybody all right? I didn't hear too much. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 7. Then I said to them, each of you, throw away the what? Abominations which are before your what? Eyes. Wow. And do not defy yourselves with idols. Idols here is a representation of imagery. Of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, but they rebelled against me, would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their what? Eyes. Nor did they forsake the idols or imageries of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my namesake that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, among whom they were in whose sight I had made myself known to them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Now the word Egypt means world, doesn't it? So who's painting that picture? Satan's kingdom, isn't he? What's it doing? It's bringing us into bondage and fear. Listen, you don't even realize it sometimes, that it's there. Did you ever get angry or did you ever do something and you saw somebody doing it. You saw yourself doing it before. You saw your mother or father do it. You saw how they acted. You saw yourself beginning to act like somebody else. Well, where do you think that pain came from? Amen. What was he trying to do? He's still trying to clone us according to his way and will. Listen. One of the things is past relationships. When God says, come on, give it to me and let it go. So what does the devil tell? He paints you? Okay, I can give you this relationship. Okay, I'll give you this relationship, but I'll hunt for another one. when God's saying, wait on me. Wait on me. But the devil loves to pay. Why? Because his purpose is to move us out of our call, to move us out of destiny, to move us out of position, to move us out. And the next thing you know, you're fighting with this, or you're hunting something else, or moving out of direction, and then you begin to touch unclean things that you don't even realize. Oh, hallelujah. Idols are false images that Satan covers or blinds what God gave us to see. He loves to blind us what God has given us. He alters it and defiles it, profanes it, changes it, doesn't he? Amen? Why? Because the devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. Hallelujah. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room or the chambers of his imagery or idols. For they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Now tell me that wasn't a painted image. Does everybody understand that? He's talking about the chambers over their imagery. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman or a man to lust after her or him has already committed adultery in their heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. Now he's talking about sight, isn't he? Imagery. Amen? Now I don't want everybody to go home and pluck out your eye and come in with one patch next week. Come in like a bunch of parts. Amy, buckle! Hallelujah. What we want to pluck out is that false imagery. Amen? That lust. Lust brings bondage, doesn't it? Second Timothy chapter 1. And it doesn't have to be after a person. It could be a material thing. We can begin to worship all the things before God. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 1 in verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Somebody there? Hallelujah. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Whoa. So, do you think that Satan knows that all of these things are available for us? Hey, let me tell you, he was hitting you when you were in your mother's womb. He was already painting images. He was trying to clone you. I mean, look at TV. It's a big clone, isn't it? People watch TV and they want to be like what's on TV. Look at how many... Same thing with music. Doesn't music clone people? Amen? Unfortunately, in the world, it clones them into darkness image. They think it's okay to hang out at bars and fornicate. I mean, they promote fornication. They promote all of these things. So what's he doing? He's cloning them into his image. When the Lord is trying to pull us out and clone us into his image. To be an expression of who he is. Amen? But these images, these false images that are in our life, keep causing us to go astray. They keep causing us to fall into fear. They keep causing us to bring to bondage. They'll even bring sickness and disease, because as soon as something's happened, that image comes right up and says, man, you're sick. Man, you're this. You're that. I mean, next thing you know, you see yourself in bed for 3 days and you're still not even in bed yet. And you're already thinking about what you can do. Let's see, I can get some books and read, and I guess I better get ready to call work tomorrow. I know tomorrow I won't be going to work because I'll be sick. See, he's already painted it. You've already touched and agreed with it. Okay, then you handed him the paintbrush. Went out and bought him the paint too. He's not given us a spirit of fear or bondage, but power, love, and sound mind. Fear is a deadly image. Fear is a deadly image. It establishes a secret life of bondage. Something you see every day due to trauma, affliction, pain, spoken word, experience, offense, or rejection. Anybody know where we can buy an eternal tape? Praise God. God has not given us a spirit of fear or bondage, but power, love, and sound mind. Fear is a deadly image. It establishes a secret life of bondage. Fear establishes a secret life of bondage. Something you see every day due to a trauma, affliction, pain, spoken word, an experience, an offense, a rejection, anything towards that arena. Should I repeat that again? Fear is a deadly image. It establishes a secret life of bondage. Something you see every day due to a trauma, affliction, a pain, a spoken word, something somebody said to you, an experience, an offense, a rejection. And anything associated with it. Amen? Luke chapter 1. Glorious. Simple teaching. Luke chapter 1. Now, Sister Mary, the woman that the Lord chose to come through, come into the world, went to meet her, I think it was her cousin Elizabeth. In verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who what? Fear him. From generation to generation, He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Whoa! He has scattered them in the imagination of their hearts. Pride looks into a false image. Can't humble, exalts itself, puffs one up. Desires to be in a position for acknowledgement. Hallelujah. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Pride looks into a false image. The devil loves that one. Personal reverence into a deadly end, right? He paints that picture. Go to Ezekiel again in chapter 20. Pride. Pride. Ezekiel chapter 20. One of the fruits of pride is gossip. Gossip paints a deadly image. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 30. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, you are defiling yourselves in the manner of your fathers and are committing harlotry according to their abominations. For when you offer your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with your what? Idols, which is a representation of what? Images. Even to this day, so shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What you have in your what? Mind shall never be. He's talking to the proud. When you say we will be like the Gentiles, like the families in the other countries, serving wood and stone, he's saying, what is that image that is in your mind that's been painted, that canvas that's been painted, will never be. Everybody got it? What you imagine will not come to pass is what he's saying. Satan manufactures false image of others, circumstances, and self. He manufactures a false image of others, circumstances, and self. That's his purpose. Why? What's his purpose to do? Is to bring division, contention, flesh, works of self, own strength. He paints that canvas of your mind, false images of others, circumstances, and self. And what that will do also, it will promote the separation from being able to receive the love of God, the love of others, and the love of self. Everybody got it? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. False images. I guess you can associate that with who told you that, right? Or who painted that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought or imagination into the captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all of those false images, those lies of disobedience when your obedience is what?
Fulfilled.
Hallelujah. Go to Numbers 13. So it's our responsibility to cast those things down, isn't it? It's our responsibility to remove them. Numbers 13. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Praise be to God. In verse 26, I think. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? Oh, hallelujah. I'm in 14. Hold on. Wrong one. I got to go back to 13. Hallelujah. God's good. What was that in 14? Let me go back to that. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, Numbers 13. Verse 25. Now, Moses sent out Caleb and sent out some guys, Joshua and so forth, to go fight and take some land. And they went to go spy it out first, right? And when in verse 25 it says, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. It was a bunch of big fruit. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It was truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. There, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, and dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites, and dwell in the sea and along on the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. So, Caleb was like, man, what you guys looking at? Let's just go take it. Don't worry about it. Because the devil was painting an image, and that began to bring a little separation here. I want to go over to chapter 14. Oh, hallelujah. In chapter 14, and verse 6. Chapter 14 and verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jabanuah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, in a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. The congregation had another image. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel, and Daddy fixed it. But it's amazing how the whole congregation was like, no, these two guys, they said, come on, man, this is the way it is. Stone them. Stone them. You kidding?
And that they didn't even go over there. But the devil already had an image painted. Hello? Stone them! And they came back with these big grapes and everything. It's fruit. They said, no. But the devil painted this image. Wouldn't let them go. Amen? Does everybody understand that? You know what the devil does? He manipulates our sight, doesn't he? He alters our purpose and direction. Throws us off course of our destiny. He knows how to manipulate a soft heart and harden a pride heart. Is everybody with me? He knows how to manipulate a soft heart and harden a pride heart. Because he is the master of manipulation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 17, for a light affliction. Remember, it's light. Hello? Some people just, I mean, they get, the devil paints this picture, man, like they are carrying the world on their shoulders, that their affliction is terrible, that they might as well just, they see themselves hanging and killing themselves. And I mean, you know, the devil just wants to wipe us out, doesn't he? Oh, no, I'll never be able to pay this debt. Oh, no, I'll never get this church. Hallelujah. Oh, no, I'll never be able to do this. Oh, no. You know what happens? The devil wants us to get in the arena of the carnal senses, the carnal common sense. Well, if we don't have enough money, how are we going to do this? It's nothing to do with money. It's nothing to do with our talent. It's nothing to do with our knowledge. It's nothing to do with our intellect. It all has to do with Him. That's how He gets the glory. Does everybody understand that? For our life's affliction, which is but for a moment. Oh, and he paints it forever. Doesn't it? Seems like some of those afflictions are eternal. Perpetual. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, the devil doesn't want you to see ahead. He wants to paint that image and picture of just what's happening right now. He doesn't want, see, then he can bring you in bondage and get you caught up in the circumstance. While we do not look at the things which are seen, oh, hallelujah, quit looking at that canvas. But at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, we're right there. In verse 7, would you read it with me? What a miracle. Come on, read it with me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. James 4, 7. We're closing down here. Hang tough. Don't let the devil paint you a picture now. Yeah, some of us are looking at that food. He's already painted that food picture already. Man, I can't wait to get out of here and eat. Man, he's already got you making it. You're already drooling. Man, I'm so tired. I'm going home and going to bed. You're already sleeping before you get there. James chapter 4. Spirit knows it all, doesn't he? In verse 7, therefore submit to God and resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from him. What do you got to resist? Those things of the devil, don't you? But first you got to be able to submit to God. See, so you've got to be willing to accept what God says about you and resist what the devil paints about you.
That's how you walk in the Spirit. If you can't resist what the devil's painting about you, it means you're not submitting to God. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't say resist the devil, doesn't submit to God. It says submit to God, what he has to say to you, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen? So submit, come under authority, humble yourself, eat that humble pie. Whatever it takes. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what?
Humility.
Humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what?
Exalt
you. God desires to exalt you, but so does the devil. So many people can't discern the difference. That must be God. No, God doesn't handle pride. He exalts in humility. The devil exalts in pride. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting what? All your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for what? For you. Now listen, I'm going to share something really important because there's a tendency that the devil paints a picture that says you've got to help everybody. That's a false image. You know what it does is it stretches people in every direction where they can't get anything done correctly. And then we begin to interfere with what God is doing, and the devil knows, hey man, don't you think you ought to help that person? He paints this big picture. This person needs this, 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 and this. Hurry up, get it for him. Oh man, I better help. And God's trying to go, man, will you get out of the way? Will you get out of the way? It's that false image, and it's false pride. I've got to, you know what we do then? We get in the way of God, we play God. But the Word says, well, see, they don't have the discernment of the Word because the Bible says it comes by the Spirit, doesn't it? See, so that if you don't have spiritual discernment, you'll be interfering with what God is trying to do to somebody or with someone. What we're doing is prolonging their torment and torture by getting in the way. And that's what the devil wants, doesn't he? Doesn't he want mankind to be tormented and tortured? Amen. He doesn't want you to die right away. He wants you to be tormented and tortured because he enjoys it. So he gets individuals that are not in discerning of spirit to work for them. He paints the picture and the image. It's just like driving down the road. How many people you see have a sign say, help wanted, or labor for the day. I'm homeless. You know, work for food. Then you try to go bring them to a place to get food and you tell you want your money because they just want another drink. And I'm not saying that some of them aren't out there, but there's a reason why they're out there. Something's not right. Hello? Something isn't right. Well, I lost my wife, my kids, this, then. Why? Do you not understand what I'm saying? There's always that image and whatever. And, you know, I shared a story one time. Mom and I were driving to this place in Sanford or something. I forgot where. And we were driving by this guy, and he had a sign out there. But prior to the driving by that with that sign, the Lord led me to go buy a newspaper. So I went, and I don't buy newspapers. Every once in a while, I'll buy a newspaper. I mean, not even once in a while. I probably buy one newspaper every 4 years. Maybe five. So I went in and I bought a newspaper, and I said, Mom, I don't know why I got this newspaper, but we were in the store, and I just threw it aside. And we come by, and there's this guy. So we passed him. I didn't even know he was there, and on our way back, we came again. And he come running to the car, and he wanted. Well, I saw him as we were getting closer and closer, and the Lord said, that newspaper's for him. Pull out the want ads. I said, whoa. So I pulled out the want ads. He came to the car wanting something. I rolled down the window. I was like, God bless you. Mom went, oh my God!
She said, did you see that sign? I said, what sign?
She goes, he's got stomach cancer. I said, what's he want food then? Hello? Holy Spirit knows, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 3. Praise God. We're going to say a prayer after this too, okay? Everybody repeat it after me. In a minute. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own image. Hello. Did everybody get it? Come on, say it with me. Replace that word understanding with image. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own image. Hallelujah. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall what? Direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, in your own image. Fear the Lord and depart from evil will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Hallelujah. I mean, many of us have got these false images. We've been believing in them. We've touched and agreed with them. And we need to break these things off and get rid of them. Amen. Some of us cannot get a person's face out of our way. Whether it be our opposite sex, someone we were soul tied, someone that the Lord said this is this or whatever. We need to get them out of it. Come on, repeat after me. Father,
I
affirm my faith in you. Your word and your promises to fulfill what you said. I look to you and seek the fulfillment.
The fullness of your power
in my life.
Right now I open myself to you.
I trust you with all of my
inadequacies
and my life.
I confess my secrets, Lord.
I submit the imagery of my mind to you.
And repent of my attraction
to Satan's false images.
Oh
God,
my involvement in this sinful practice
has opened the door to fears,
secrets
that have bound me,
and to miss your will.
I do not want the enemy
to trick and limit me anymore.
No longer do I want
to escape my life,
but I desire to live for you.
Father, from this day forth,
I rededicate my life to you.
Help me to be a good soil,
which the seed of your word will bear fruit.
Today,
I turn from Satan.
As my source of information.
Father, forgive me.
Jesus, cleanse me with your blood.
Set me free from all my secrets
and bondages of fear.
Loose me from the chains in my life.
Help me to overcome all the barriers
regarding drugs,
finances,
relationships.
Jobs,
marriage,
sexual perversion,
anger,
and everything else
that the enemy has tried to bind me with.
I call on you, Holy Spirit,
as my helper,
to replace the devil's images
that have snared me
and pictured me
in the image of failure.
I ask you, Holy Spirit,
bring into my life
renewed images
of the Lord's deliverance and hope.
I believe that you'll perform a miracle in my life.
Rededicate me in the path of righteousness.
Help me to walk in your ways.
Help me to walk in your ways.
So I may fulfill your purpose for my life.
Thank you, Jesus, for washing me. Thank you, Jesus, for washing me.
With your blood.
With your blood.
So I can come to the Father's throne.
So I can come to the Father's throne.
This day.
This day.
I declare the word of God.
Will destroy the chambers
of evil imagery in my life.
I rebuke all demonic images
of fear
in Jesus'
name.
I rebuke the pictures
in my mind
that have tried to make me feel inadequate,
unqualified for God's grace and promise.
I bind you in the name of Jesus.
I speak to the tormenting pictures
the devil has given me.
You no longer will bind me.
You are bound.
Loose my body
and my mind
right now in Jesus' name.
Fears,
release me now.
I refuse to cower in fear any longer.
You will not cripple me in my flesh
anymore.
Condemn me for my past,
or cause my former failures
to repeat it, be repeated in my future.
I speak to those demonic images.
Go for me right now
in the name of Jesus.
I speak to the fear of man.
Go in the name of Jesus.
I speak to every sense of guilt
and shame.
Go in the name of Jesus.
You have no power over my life.
For Jesus bore my guilt and shame.
I will not live with you anymore.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
From all demonic strongholds.
From this day forth.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said amen.
God bless.